Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Good Shepherd Lutheran Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's great to have you all here. I'm Pastor Chris, and I extend a warm welcome to you all, especially if you're a guest with us. I invite you to consider making Good Shepherd your home here in the Columbia area. I have a handful of announcements before we begin. The first of one, I am sad to say, is I hope that if you're a member, you received your letter this week, but the news is that I'll be departing Good Shepherd. My final Sunday is September 24th, and Ginger and I have accepted calls to serve down at All Saints Lutheran Church in Mount Pleasant. And so we're excited, but I also hate to say goodbye, but I do know that God is indeed with you and directing this congregation. You will not be left alone. Jesus is with you. But also, I know that the council is at work to get an excellent interim pastor here, and also that Bishop Yost will be working with the congregation throughout the discernment process as you all decide who and discern who your next pastor will be here at Good Shepherd. Next Sunday, we have our two worship services back again, so our 8:30 and our 10:30 service. So if you're coming at 9:30, go to a Sunday school class. But we hope that you'll come to either 8:30 or 10:30. That's our regular worship schedule. We're wrapping up our summer schedule today. But next week, we will have a couple of faces that are one that's new and one that's not so new. At our 10:30 service, Jim Johnson will definitely be our music director, and he's already stepping into that role today. And so we give you thanks, Jim, for being here and serving as our interim music director during this time. And then at our 8:30 service, Justin Rimbo, who is a deacon of the church, he will be serving as the music director at the early service, and that's also an interim position, but we'll introduce him next week. Next week will also be the dedication of the memorial gifts, and so that will take place at both services. The gifts that have been offered as memorials to the church, they'll be presented to the congregation and offered to the glory of God. And because of all the stuff that's going on next week, we've decided that Rally Day will start at 9:45. So that's not a misprint in your bulletin. It's 9:45 up in the FAB. The services are still 8:30 and 10:30, but we know that the 8:30 service is probably going to go a little bit longer that morning, and we need some time to work up there. So 9:45 for Rally Day. In your bulletin, you'll see the insert for the Welka Women's Breakfast, and that will be this coming Saturday. And so if you are interested in that, please fill out the form and leave it in the offering plate so that they know that you will be attending. And then one final announcement, Virginia All, she's in the hospital. She started chemo this past week for her cancer, but there was some kind of adverse reaction. She started having some fluid buildup in her left lung. And so I saw her last night. She's doing very well, but she is hoping that people will visit her and check in with her. She'll be there for a couple of days until they get this sorted out. But she's in stable condition and doing well. But she's at Park Ridge Hospital, the new one up 26, Park Ridge Hospital, room 4435, if you're interested in visiting her. That's all the announcements that I have for us today. So let's now rise for our confession and forgiveness. We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of God, Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, we thank you for your Son, who chose the path of suffering for the sake of the world. Humble us by his example, point us to the path of obedience, and give us strength to follow your commands. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from Jeremiah. O Lord, you know, remember me and visit me and bring down retribution for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, do not take me away. Know that on your account I will suffer insult. Your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice under the weight of your hand as I sat alone, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly, you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you turn back, I will take you back, and you shall stand before me, if you utter what is precious and not what is worthless. You shall serve as my mouth. It is they who turn against you, not to who will turn it to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. The word of the Lord. A reading from Romans. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in show and honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lonely. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
From that time on, after Peter's confession, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him, saying,
God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
As the congregation is seated, I invite all my young friends forward for a children's message. And now is a great time to pass along those friendship registers in your pews. How are y'all doing? See, I brought props today. You're glad you came up today. All right, so say you had a battle with some enemies. We have some weapons here. Want to try that one? Oh, all right. If you had to choose one weapon that's in this box, what would it be? You know, a dart gun? Or it's actually little Nerf darts. Okay. Or you could even just, like, handcuff them. What do you think, Savannah? Would that work? Or what about this? This is one of those slap hands. What if you could just smack them? You know, like, these things are hard to work. There you go. What do you think? Oh, and then there's also this one here. What do y'all think? What would be the best weapon for your enemy? Mm-hmm. Do you think this might be a clue, since we are in church today? Well, here we go. Yeah, in our second lesson today, the Apostle Paul says something. Let me pull it up here. He says, Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another, and outdo one another in showing honor. Do you think these other weapons show honor? They might make fun noises, but yeah. Yeah. Well, how about this? He says at the end, we'll leave those in there. He says at the end, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. And if they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For in doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So what Paul is saying there is that the normal way of doing things is if you have an enemy, as you fight things out. But really, what you're supposed to do is love your enemies. Love your enemies, and it'll confuse them, first of all, but it'll also change them. It'll change them, and eventually, they might actually become your friends. And so that's the greatest weapon of all, is that using love, it actually changes your enemies. And in the process, it changes you, too. So I hope you know that love is the greatest of all the weapons. All right? It's a good thing, too. That's what God desires. All right, will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson today, for Paul to tell us about the love that is the best weapon in this world, that your love, shared through us to others, is a way of dismantling others and ourselves, and to rejoice in the love that you first show us. This we give thanks for, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, y'all can go back to your pews. Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
I feel like I've got to do something. That's what a man named Jordy Bloodsworth said last weekend. Like all of us, he had seen the first reports of the extensive flooding taking place in Texas. And for Jordy, this brought back memories of that time when he was a teenager and he lost all of his possessions during Hurricane Katrina. Now 25 years old, Jordy hitched his fishing boat to the back of his car and drove to Baton Rouge, from Baton Rouge to Texas, to help in the rescue efforts. I feel like I've got to do something. There are times in our lives when we realize that we are at a crossroads, when we've come to a moment when the paths of life are no longer fixed. It often is a moment of prayer and discernment. I feel like I've got to do something. When we hear Jesus say, "Take up your cross and follow me," it must have been one of those moments for his disciples. Imagine being in their shoes, or their sandals, but hearing Jesus say that, "Take up your cross and follow me." On this side of Easter, we have a certain theological understanding when we think of the cross. That means that when we hear the word cross, something about God comes to mind. We think of the salvation accomplished through Jesus' death and resurrection. But the story in our gospel lesson takes place before Christ's death on the cross. So when the disciples hear, "Take up your cross and follow me," we must ask, what came to their minds? Roman crucifixion came to their minds, of course, but more than just that, biblical scholar Caroline Lewis argues that the disciples would have also had a theological understanding when they heard the word cross. Theirs, however, would have been different than our post-Easter understanding of the cross. Dr. Lewis argues that the cross, not the large kind for crucifixions, but the simple intersection of two lines, like something drawn in the sand or something sketched on a wall, that was a common symbol before Jesus. What it symbolized is a crossroads. And as she says, a cross marked a moment when the paths of life were not fixed, when the direction for how to be in the world was less than certain, when God seemed to be rerouting the future. A theology of crossroads. I feel like I've got to do something. The disciples would have thought of this when Jesus discussed the cross. And of course, Jesus was speaking of death on a cross, but the theology that came to their mind was not of salvation, but a theology of crossroads. A theology of God must be rerouting the future somehow. It is our experience to have our own crossroad moments in life. However, Jesus says that not all paths forward are equal. He rebukes Peter by saying that Peter has his mind set on human things rather than having his mind set on divine things. And when facing crossroads, there is the normal way that humans would approach it, but then there is God's way of choosing the right path. But how do we learn the difference between the human way and the divine way? One activity that pastors will often do with confirmation students is ask them, "What do you and your parents hope for in your life?" As the students provide answers, the pastors will often write them down on the board. Financial security, family, a good home, a long, healthy life, a good job, and a good reputation. They name the things that we usually associate with success. And after writing those down on the board, the pastor will then say, "Let's evaluate Jesus with these standards of ours. Financial security? No. Family? He had no wife or kids. A good home? He had no home. A long and healthy life? He died in his early 30s. A good job and reputation? The elites loathed him." Jesus does not meet the standard our standards on any count. And the point of the lesson is that things are not always as they appear. That human standards for success don't align with God's standards for success. And we see that on the cross. God has other priorities in mind. If we are going to attempt to set our minds on divine things, this means as Christians we must always be thinking, interpreting, and discerning what God's ways are. And that is difficult work for us to do. If someone gives God only one Sunday morning hour each week to shape his worldview, but he gives media personalities dozens of hours per week to shape his worldview, it's not hard to guess which worldview is going to prevail in the end. So to be a disciple of God is not about being a disciple in the world, of the world. We need to allow God to shape and to influence us throughout the week. And when God says that we need to set our mind on divine things, that we should be better prepared for those crossroad moments in our lives when they occur. I feel like I've got to do something. Right now, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church is at a crossroads. The time of transition is the cross that this congregation is bearing. This congregation must enter the discernment process of what its ministries will be and where its energies will be focused. In a very real way, God is rerouting the future for this congregation at this time. Some may view this time of transition as a time to hang it up for a little bit and check back in once a new pastor is here. And worse, others may choose to leave permanently. To those considering such paths, I want to say this in the most gracious way I can. Don't. Don't. Don't start checking out. Don't decide to take a vacation from being involved in this congregation. Right now, Good Shepherd is carrying a cross, and you are needed to help bear that burden. It is at a crossroads, and it needs your prayers, it needs your discernment, and it needs the work of each and every one of us. It's time for you to step up and to help your congregation carry its cross. A 20th century philosopher once said, "When you come to a fork in the road, take it." I love Yogi Berra. One way to interpret his point of this is that coming to a crossroads is no reason to retreat from it. Will this congregation have disagreements and different viewpoints while in this crossroads? Yes, of course, because you get that anytime you put human beings together. But different viewpoints doesn't mean that things have to get heated. Sharing different viewpoints is a part of the discernment process that we must undergo. I'll address that issue more in the next couple of sermons. But hear this. Don't be afraid to pick up this cross for your church. Don't be afraid to follow Jesus. Jesus calls on us to not just put a little bit of skin into the game, but to put our entire selves into the process. The Apostle Paul sums it up nicely in the epistle lesson today from Romans. He describes what it is like to take up your cross and to follow Jesus. And the good thing is that it's not all horrible stuff. He says there is joy and there is great reward to be found in the discipleship journey. He says that when the community of faith is at its best, it is amazing. Yet, he says, when the community of faith is not at its best, it's still the best way forward to live our lives. I feel like I've got to do something. Yes, you do. You are entering a crossroads, and that can be a very holy place. We must take up our cross as a congregation, and we must commit to doing this work of discernment together. Amen. Thank you.
People of God, let us join together in declaring our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Rejoicing in the risen life of Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need, kneeling or seated as you are able. We pray for the church. Keep us steadfast in your word. Shape us according to your will. Heal our divisions. Protect us from discord. Unite us in your love. Empower us for mission. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the earth, for forests and vineyards, marshes and springs, for grasslands and pastures, farmlands and orchards. Protect your creation from damage by earthquake, flood, wind, drought, fire, hail, or misuse. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations, for those who govern and all who hold authority, for those who have been displaced by warfare, economic hardship, or disaster. Bring freedom, justice, and stability to areas of conflict. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those in need, for those who are anxious, for those who suffer abuse or neglect, for those who are hungry or homeless, for those who grieve and all who are sick, especially those we name before you now on our lips and in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for this assembly. Deepen our lives of prayer and discernment. Open us to the guiding of your Spirit. Fill us with compassion. Nourish us at your holy table. Strengthen us in service to our community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died, especially our loved ones and those who have given their lives in service. Inspire us by their example and bring us to your eternal home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Joining our voices with your faithful ones in every time and place, we offer our prayers in the name of the risen one, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please rise. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let's share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death in the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. You bring light from darkness, life from death, speech from silence. We praise you for the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, who comes to us in this Holy Supper. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." In this feast, let us remember the one in whom we have hope, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
May the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
lock in me.
Get your log. You can get your log. It was wood.
All right, so put these keys in your pocket.